This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
Hey there, Dave.
Major energy-related projects in Rhode Island include the Deepwater Wind Farm under construction off Block Island, the $700 million energy plant proposed for Burrillville. Rhode Island Energy Commissioner Marion Gold joins us as our guest to talk about the large energy initiatives in Rhode Island and the energy picture in general. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. I'm pleased to be here.
With the big plant, the big gas plant proposed for Burrillville, what is the approval process? Is there an approval process?
Yes, there is a very significant approval process. The plant has to go through a number of state permits and also some federal and regional permits. There's a very careful regulatory process that it has to go through.
Any public hearings?
There will be plenty of opportunities for the public to comment on the plant. But we really do a pretty careful job to make sure that if a new facility is sited of any kind, it's done according to the very strictest environmental and land use regulations. So we're lucky in that regard.
Now, is there there's an existing gas-fired plant on that this site or adjacent to that site? Is
well,
that right?
It's very close to both the gas pipeline and the high-voltage electric transmission line. So it's a good location for an electric power plant because it is so close to both the source of the fuel that will create the electricity and also to the transmission lines that will take it away from the power plant. So that will save money.
Now, one of the big issues just in the region has been the expansion of gas supply.
Right.
Does the pipeline coming to this, where this plant would be, is it required to grow in capacity in order to service this plant?
Invenergy, the company that is developing this generating plant, has worked very hard to make sure that they will have an assured supply of gas, and they've done something that no other power generator has proposed to do, which is actually to sign a firm contract saying we will pay for this gas and take it when you deliver it to us. So we think that there will be adequate gas supply for this particular generating plant. Now, that is within the context of as we all know, we're suffering from very high and volatile energy prices, and part of that is because we don't have access to the Marcellus gas that's coming out of the Pennsylvania-New York region. And because we don't have adequate supply, the prices have been going up. So that's something that we're working very hard with the other states in New England to see if we can find a way to increase the supply of gas into the region in a cost-effective way.
There is a question out there about why go in for such a major complex that uses a fossil fuel?
Mm-hmm.
Why not look for another source of energy?
Well, our answer is we have a short-term challenge with electric generation in the region. Right now, we're predicting that 3,500 megawatts of power are going to go offline within the next 3 years by 2018. And that's mostly a good thing because these are older, dirtier plants. And the best example is the coal-fired power plant right across the border in Seekonk. That's going to go offline. That's a lot of megawatts that we can't readily replace with renewable energy, much as we'd like to. And we think eventually in Rhode Island, we will have offshore wind that will provide a clean and hopefully lower cost energy source, but that's not available now, nor is there other sites in New England.
You're speaking of the Brayton Point plant.
Right, the Brayton Point plant.
So what's the status? I know even Governor Chafee, or even earlier than that, Governor Kacheri was talking with Quebec and to say, you know, they have large hydropower capacity there. But there's an issue of getting the transmission lines through northern New England down here to southern New England. What's happening with that?
Well, it's an ongoing work. This is something that I've been working on really hard with the other New England states and the governors of the states and the Eastern Canadian premiers. How can we both bring in hydropower, clean hydropower from Quebec, which we know we need in the long term to lower our carbon emissions and to have a more diverse fuel supply, so we don't want to be relying on natural gas either exclusively or for the long term. We want to transition to lower carbon sources. So how do we get that down here in a cost-effective way? We're working with the other states to set up the mechanisms that will allow us to equitably finance and efficiently site the transmission lines, and we're doing the same thing on the gas pipelines.
What do you think the timing of that might be in the best case scenario?
The best case scenario, we're hoping that there may be an announcement or some progress in the fall. So Connecticut has passed legislation that allows them to participate in a regional procurement, both on the gas and the clean energy. Rhode Island actually a year ago passed legislation called the Affordable Clean Energy Act, which allows us to participate through National Grid in a regional procurement. And it sets up a very careful process, again, to make sure that whatever plan is proposed is reviewed by the environmental community, by the Commerce Department, by the Division of Public Utilities for the cost impacts. So Rhode Island is ready to participate, Maine is ready to participate, and Massachusetts is working on it.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. Our guest is Rhode Island Energy Commissioner Marion Gold. Getting back to the proposed Burrillville plant, let's assume it's up and running and producing what they say it's going to produce in terms of electricity. What is your sense about the effect in general on rates and supplies in the region?
We're hoping that it will help lower rates, and we think that is critically important. And I like to say Rhode Island and the rest of New England is out in front in many of our energy programs. We have the best energy efficiency programs in the country, in the world. We have very strong renewable energy programs, not only first in the water with our offshore wind, but a burgeoning renewable energy program. All of those clean energy programs are leading to more jobs in Rhode Island.
Any sense of how much the rate might drop?
You know, I wouldn't want to predict that, but it will definitely go down, which is a good thing.
What percentage right now of energy that's consumed in Rhode Island is from renewable sources? And what's the goal? I'm trying to remember what the goal is down the road.
Yeah. So our renewable energy standard sets a goal of us obtaining 14.5% of our energy from renewable sources by 2019. And one of the things that we're working on very hard, Mark, is to actually have more local renewable energy generation. So we have something called the Renewable Energy Growth Program. So we put in last year about 25 megawatts of renewable energy, and this upcoming year we'll develop another 40 megawatts. And this is a great thing. It keeps more energy dollars in the local economy while creating jobs. Energy efficiency, we invest over $100 million in helping us, all of us, the radio stations, my home, your business, use our energy more efficiently, so we get the same comfort level, the same services at a lower cost. And that's really important. And I just want to say, again, we were talking about China. We are leading the way. China is looking to New England. How can we have a good economy, a good economic base, but also clean air and clean water? And they're looking to New England as an example of how we can get there. And we're really proud of our leadership in this area.
As we wrap up, I wanted to ask very generally, you know, we had a horrible storm and knocked out power to tens of thousands of people. What is your office doing, if anything, about coming up with a protection plan against storm damage, against even perhaps terrorism?
Yeah, cybersecurity is a very big issue. I think in this case, we are very fortunate to have a partner in the National Grid. I mean, every major utility in the country is super concerned about this, especially in the coastal area. In my office, we're starting a microgrid project where we're going to be evaluating the highest risk area in the state and then beginning to deploy backup electricity generation so we can make sure that our critical services are maintained during what we know there's going to be more storms in the future, which again is why we're so committed. Governor Raimondo is committed to a clean energy future and transferring to renewable energy.
Okay, we'll have to wrap it up there. Rhode Island Energy Commissioner Marion Gold has been the guest on The Bottom Line. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to Mark Murphy of Providence Business News.
Great to be here as always, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon. This is Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward.